Thank you very much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity that we have, Lord, that we can plant our seeds and that we can do it with a grateful heart, Lord. Just bless our seed, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that we can sow our seeds into good soil. Thank you, Lord. Just bless our seed, bless the outcome of it, bless this church, and bless our pastor. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to share the Word of God with you this morning, and thank you for making the time to come. Please give each other a socially distant warm greeting. Hallelujah. To the folks watching online, the folks next door, glad to have you with us this morning. We trust that God is going to meet you at your point of need. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the gift of life and the privilege of being able to call under your name. Thank you that we can say, Abba, Father, Daddy, God, the Lord God Almighty. What a privilege we have this morning of being part of the body of Christ, to be able to spend a few minutes meditating on your word. Holy Spirit, would you move in our hearts, deep down inside where nobody sees? Would you change us, Lord God, to the praise and glory of your name? Eternal life, Lord God, is to know you, and may we get to know you more and become more like Jesus as a result of our time spent around your word this morning. I thank you for your blessing upon every individual here this morning, Lord. Those watching online, your blessing upon every household represented, Lord God. Thank you that this word will bring much fruit in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. And all the people of the Most High God said, amen and amen. Turn with me to Psalm 99 and verse 5. I was talking this week with somebody and I said, we've gone through interesting times in this pandemic that the world is facing. But there's going to come a time when we're going to say, remember when this time would have come and gone and be passed. One of the translations, oftentimes it says, and it came to pass, and it came to pass, and this too shall come to pass. And sometimes we think of a place that we're going to as the ultimate destination, whereas the journey and the getting there is the lesson that God wants to teach us. So we now understand as of tomorrow, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we are going to level 2, the 18th. Only from Tuesday we're going to level 2. And it's amazing, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody or knocking anybody, but it's amazing how sometimes the only thing that people can think of, ja, ons kan weer dop en rook. Hallelujah. God bless them and God bless everybody. Psalm 99 and verse 5. Please read it with me. Follow on your device wherever. Exalt the Lord our God. Anybody notice how the Lord is capitalized in where you're reading it? Anybody see that? Exalt the Lord our God. Bow low before his feet, for he is holy. If you do a word study, the general description, general idea of worship in the Old Testament is practically lived out and demonstrated like this. That's worship in the Old Testament. Laying down, prostrate, flat on your face before God Almighty, because he is awesome and holy. Bow low down before God. That's the general idea in the Old Testament. And Jesus comes along and changes everything. The general idea of worship, if you do a word study, in the New Testament is this. Moving from where we are at to where he is with the intention of kissing him. What a difference. Old style worship to new style worship. God desires intimacy with His people and that connection. He always had that connection with His people, with Adam and Eve in the garden. Scripture says that man walked with God, fellowshiped with Him, and had communion with Him. And then sin entered and separated us from mankind. And Jesus came and rectified that. And the thing is, when we compromise our value systems, when the world compromises its value systems and lowers the moral standard, it does not change who God is. God is still holy and to be worshipped as such. And this amazing change was brought about because of what Jesus has done. We've been told that the ancients wouldn't dare pronounce the full name of God in all its fullness because it was too holy a name to be spoken. They wouldn't spell it in all its fullness because it was too holy a name for us to just mention. And today we say, oh God, oh my God, Jesus Christ, did you see that? And in the Ten Commandments says, you shall not use the Lord your God's name in vain. There's a reason why God says that, people. It's not a religious thing. It's not a church thing. It's because God wants to guard us and we protect us against this cancer called sin creeping in and separating us from Him. They didn't even dare mention the name of God in all of its fullness, Yahweh. If we spell it so that we understand it today, it's Y-A-H-W-E-H. They remove the A and the E. But also, so that it can be spoken as naturally as the way that we breathe, to remind us that He is our life essence. That we inhale and exhale the essence of God's life that He has given us. Yahweh, His name is holy. And He's to be treated as such and as reverently as such. People have wondered why God was so violent and cruel in His execution of justice and judgment when dealing with sin in times gone past. When God said, the people, hulle moet ontsla raak van die onrein. Ladies and gentlemen, everything that had breath was to be killed. Think about that. Everything that had breath was to be killed. Young, old, rich, poor, all colors, every animal, everything that was involved and subjected to evil had to be wiped out completely. Why was God so extreme and radical in that approach? Because God is holy. It's Habakkuk 1:13 says that you have purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look upon wickedness. God cannot look upon wickedness. That's why when Jesus Christ became sin for us on the cross, for the first time since forever, as God took out His wrath and anger upon sin, His back was turned to the cross, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because God is holy. Isn't it a little bit extreme that God would call, I mean, imagine an onschuldige, a puppy that was exposed to paganism and idol worship and worshiping of false gods and all sorts of things. And God says, no, kill it all. Why? Did God have such a radical approach in dealing with something that was exposed to sin? If there is a life-threatening, which, if you look at statistics, I'm not so convinced, like COVID or something worse, that for which there just is no cure at all, And there's a little trace of that in your body, and they find it, and die spesialiste besluit, okay, ek gaan bietjie daarvan bietjie uitsny hierso en ontsla raak van dit, en dan op die operasie daarsel tafel onder die groot helder ligte sien hulle nog bietjie, en die tyd raak nou min, hulle is nou amper lunchtyd, en besluit hulle, ach nee, it's just a little bit, ek gaan dit maar nie daarsel los, kom ons maak die patiënt maar weer toe. Are they going to do that? No. They get rid of all of it. They get rid of all of it because in rat poison, 99.999% of that rat poison is actually very, very good, inviting, tasty food for the rat. Anders gaan die rot nie naby dit kom nie. It's that %, that is giftig for the rat. And in die vijand lok ons dan uit met daai klein bietjie compromise. Daai klein bietjie, you know, I'll just try the waters just a little, just see, ach, you know, die Here verstaan, 'n man is nie 'n klip nie. And God will understand, we'll just compromise just a little bit here. You see, I'm not a big, strong, mighty man. But I don't care how big and strong you are and how much you can bench press. If I'm standing at your front door and all wat ek hoef te doen is hierdie klein voetjie van my daar in te sit, jy sal nie daai deur toemaak nie. Jy sal nie kan nie. Because I've got my foot in the door. And that's all the enemy needs in your life, my brother, my sister, is just a little bit of a gap. That comma 1% of compromise or slap. And then he's got you. But God is holy. And he requires and exacts holiness from us. Holiness. Why would they worship God like that? Just, and we think, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God this and that. Really? I don't think so. I don't think so. He is holy. Why did he exercise such extreme measures? I submit to you, there's one possibility why. Like, we might not be able to fully understand the awesome and full extent of God's glory and splendor in this age and in this lifetime. So too, we might not also fully understand the extent of the wages of sin in our lives. I know what Romans 6:23 says. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I know we know what the scripture says, but I believe we fully understand what it means. The wages of sin is dead. Die loon wat jy kry vir die sonde is die dood. Do we fully understand that it means permanent, forever, always, total and complete and utter separation from God without any hope of redemption or salvation? That's what it means. That's what the scripture speaks about, the second death. One death, our spirit leaves our body and our little heart, ons pompie, hou op. And your spirit leaves this. And then the second death is when you are separated from God forever. There's no second chances coming back in reincarnation. People think, oh well, reincarnation must be true because Jan van Riebeek, he came back as coffee. No. No, there's no such thing as reincarnation coming back as whatever, because of what you've done in your pre. This is it, ladies and gentlemen. This is the real deal. This is the time and the opportunity and the moments that we have to make right with God. This is the opportunity. And I believe one of the reasons why we're so casual in our approach and our worship of the Lord is because we don't fully understand what it means when the scripture says the wages of sin is death. If you had 6 eggs. And you started baking or playing with them or whatever, and you broke a couple. But you always knew, anytime you wanted, you could just get a few more eggs. Maybe you didn't even have to get it yourself. You could send somebody to kry vir jou sommer eiers. Maybe you got chickens and hens or whatever that are just laying them in the yard and it's fine. There's just like a, there's this constant supply of eggs. But if you know that these six eggs that you have are the last eggs on the face of this planet, Mars is out of eggs. Jupiter is out of eggs. Venus, there's no eggs in the yellow yellow. There are no more eggs. How are you going to treat those eggs? Nou, wat van ons lewens dan? That this is it. This is not a test run. This is not a trial run. This is the real deal. And God, in His holiness, chose to make us from the dirt and breathe His life into us. And we think that we can do our own thing. No, my brother. No, my sister. We can't. There's a holy God to whom we have to give account. A couple of weeks ago, before we could get together like this, God laid this on my heart for one of the recorded messages that there was as much preaching in the world today about holiness as what there has been about grace. We'd be living in completely a different world all together. Yes, there is grace. What about holiness? What about this holy God that we serve? I want to say to you, He's not just iemand daarboe, die groot baas. Ek hoor dit mense sê dit so ligtelik, yes, iemand kyk uit vir my, weet jy? He's not die groot baas, man, your gabba, your bra. He's God Almighty, the great I am, the maker of heaven and earth, the Lord, the giver of life. That's who He is. And if we got just a little bit of a better glimpse about what it means that the wages of sin is death, we treat this God that's so holy very, very differently. It means total separation from God forever, the second death. No chance of redemption or salvation. You can't say, oh God, I'm sorry, just give me another chance. How old are you? Say your age to yourself. 51, I think. Yeah. I've had 51 years of chances to make right with God. Okay, maybe not the first few formative years of life when I was just a food converter in nappies and whatever, but when I got to an age of understanding and I kon onderskei tussen reg en verkeerd, en ek het die verder kennis gehad om beslissings te maak, daarvolgens, from that age on, I've had chances to make right with God, like have you. Hebrews 12 and verse 14 says, pursue peace with all people, not just those you like. Why does the scripture say pursue peace? Because it doesn't come naturally, people. I mean, here's God Himself walking with 12 disciples. Selfs onder hulle het hulle koppe gestamp en gebots en beklei en gemoan en gekla. And He's God. He had those issues in that dynamic wat voor hom uitgespeel het. He had that dynamic of people botsing, arguing with each other. We want this and who's going to be the greatest and where can we sit with you at the Lord at your right hand, etc. He had those issues as well. That's why we have to pursue peace with all people. Ongeag, and this is for us South Africans. Ongeag, hulle vel kleur. Ja, dis 'n moeilike een om te sluk daai, nê? Dis 'n moeilike een. Hey, listen. I just want to diverge a little bit off the topic and the theme this morning. Is that okay? Is that all right? Okay, it's okay. Here we go. This thing of loving all people. There's four different kinds of love that we see in the scripture. Storge, phileo, eros, and agape. Speaks about different kinds of love at different kinds of levels. Romantic love, sexual intimacy, friendship love, and an unconditional love of God. I'm not going to have that warm, fuzzy feeling in my spirit for terrorists that destroy and kill innocent people. I'm not going to have that warm, fuzzy feeling like I do have that warm, fuzzy feeling for my wife. Hello? So because I don't have that warm, fuzzy feeling for them, does it mean that I don't love them? Well, wat is die maatstaf dan? Hoe, waar volgens meet ons het? How do you know if you love a person? Well, you might not love the person. But we're called to hate the sin but love the person. If you want God's perfect will for somebody, you love them. Doesn't mean because you don't have that warm, fuzzy feeling for the criminal that breaks into your home and threatens and puts your life and your family's life in danger, that you don't love that person. I love that person. I want the righteousness of God to come to pass in that person's life. I want them to have a chance to make right with God like I got a chance to make right with God. But I don't have that warm, fuzzy feeling towards them. I don't. But if I want God's perfect will for their lives, that's love. So you might find people in your life that you don't have that warm, fuzzy feeling for them. Doesn't mean you don't love them. Do you want God's will for your life? That's the measurement that you love them. And when you think about them and their name or whatever comes up in your head and in your heart, wat se gevoelens wortel hier binne? Is it like, you little son of a, you're so, or is it, bless them, Lord. I get like that on the road and I give people names that their mothers never gave them. Because everybody in front of me is a slow coach and everybody who overtakes me is a maniac. I'm the only person driving correctly on the roads. Is it nie so nie? Dit is nie so nie. Dan doop ek hulle met ander name daar so, Abba Seka, Abba Shokorote. No. Pursue peace, it says, with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Ja, maar Here, ek het soveel kerk toe gegaan en ek het hierdie leierskapposisie gehad en ek het hierdie skrul gehad en I just got awarded this week. 30 years faithful service and I've done all these things, Lord, and ek het soveel gegaan, ja, but holiness. Holiness without which no one will see the Lord. The Message paraphrase says, without holiness, you're not even going to get a glimpse of God. And I think on job because I've done all of these things. I got a free ticket to heaven because I believe in Jesus. Well, the demons also believe in Jesus and tremble, the scripture says. Holiness, ladies and gentlemen, because God is holy. And you know, it's so easy for me, Louis, to stand here and preach like this about this holy God because the standard is there. But to live like that? Hoe doen ons dit? Hierse vanoggend nê, met rooi bloed wat in my are vloei, bely ek vir julle, ek kan nie. Ek kan nie. Don't think you're sitting there in your self-righteousness that you have any semblance of holiness that can match the standard of this perfect God. We don't. Daarom moes Jesus gekom het en gesterf het in ons plek. That is why he had to die. The spotless Lamb of God, perfect in all ways, had to shed his blood to pay the price so that God could radically, with surgical precision, deal with every iota of sin. In the same way, everything that breathed breath had to be destroyed in the Old Testament when God dealt with it. So too, to deal with the issue of sin, Jesus had to pay the ultimate price. Therefore, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. No one will see the Lord. Jesus had to pay this price for us to earn his salvation. Now, here's the deal. Jesus wasn't murdered. He wasn't. Murder takes place when a person is killed against their will. Jesus surrendered his life. He willingly gave up his life. Now here's the deal. In our pursuit of holiness, we're going to have to willingly give up our life. Yeah, but Mozzie, you don't understand what so-and-so done to me. I will not forgive them. Really? Yeah, Mama, you don't know how many times they've promised this and that and they haven't done it. You don't know what it's... One man has said to me, challenged me, and rightly so. Mozzie, have you lost a son? Have you lost a son? Because his son was killed, and Satan lied to him that it's God's fault. So now he hates God and blames God that his son died. And don't judge the man unless you're there. Be very careful, my brother, my sister. Don't judge the man unless you're there to bury your child. And he challenged me, he said, have you lost your son? I said, no, but God has. God has lost a son and knows what it is like to lose a son. And he gave his son, said, we can get through these things. I don't have an answer as to why your son died, sir. I don't. But I know God lost his son. And Jesus voluntarily gave up his life so that we also, in our pursuit of holiness, will have to give up our lives. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? In Mark chapter 8 and verse 35, Jesus says, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But, everybody say, but, whoever loses his life for my sake, this is Jesus speaking, whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Now folks, when I look at the standard set in God's word, and when I look and ponder upon how awesome God is, that mighty beings like angels, all they can say around God's throne room is, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. When I look at that, I realize, Lord, I can't get there. I can't get there, Lord. How can this flesh possibly be holy in your sight? Enter Jesus. Enter Jesus, who's made it possible for us to have access to God again. That is why there was such a transition from the old style worship to just God, God, God. Daddy, can I come? And obseskoot is the plaque. You see, his grace is sufficient for us. And we sang it in one of the songs this morning, that when I'm weak, I'm strong. His grace is sufficient for us, and his strength is made perfect in our weakness. So Jesus can usher us into the presence of God again and say, God, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve it. I'm not even worthy to call your name. But the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit says, it is by the Spirit of God, he's given us the Spirit of adoption, by whom, through the Spirit, we can say, Abba, Father, Daddy, God, Dada. We can come to God and have restored relationship with God because of what Jesus Christ has done. That's good news. So in the one breath, we can be speaking about this holy, holy God, but we have to say that it's because of Jesus who became sin for us that we can have access to God again. So, if Habakkuk 1:13 is true, which says, you have purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look upon wickedness, how can God look at us? Well, here's the deal. Just quickly, a little bit of history lesson, the Ark of the Covenant. Ark of the Covenant was built according to God's specs, certain wood overlaid with gold, with a mercy seat, two cherubim angels that would face each other, wings pointing towards each other, and the blood of the sacrificial lamb. They had to choose a lamb that had no faults, that they had to properly. It couldn't have any skeef oogie of a oorkie wat bietjie gebuig is of a wolletjie wat bietjie vuil is. It had to be a spotless lamb. They take the blood and they sprinkle it on the mercy seat. Inside of the Ark of the Covenant was the ephod, Aaron's budding rod, and the Ten Commandments. The second edition, version 2, because Moses broke the first lot. And there we see a principle. If you break somebody else's stuff, replace it. God wrote the first set. Moses et om gewip, he broke it. God said, right, now you make the second set. Hello. So that was in the ark. So there's the law. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt. There's the Ten Commandments in the Ark of the Covenant. A mercy seat on top. Where was the high priest supposed to place the blood? On top of the mercy seat. So God sees the righteous requirement of the law. Hier volgens moet julle lewe, maar nie een van ons kan. Enter the blood of Jesus, so that God looks at the righteous requirement of the law through the blood of Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? So then we can come to God and say, here I am, Lord. According to the Ten Commandments, ek is gedisqualify. I can't even be considered to be a team member for this team, God. But because of the blood of Jesus, God looks and he sees the price that you paid. He sees a man, a woman, a child that he says yes to Jesus. Lord, I believe that you're God's son. I believe that you died and paid the price for me. Would you forgive me, Lord? Would you restore me to a place of right standing with God? Ladies and gentlemen, that is good news. And when we look at the standard set in the Word of God, as I start to close, I'd like the deep end to come up and just get ready to enter, lead us in a time of worship again. We look at the standard. This pursuit of holiness from our part is something that we can't do. It's not based on what we can do. Mozzie, ek gaan my best probeer. Ek gaan lees, ek gaan bid. Lees jou Bybel, bid elke dag, bid elke dag, bid elke dag. Lees jou Bybel, bid elke dag en jy sal groei, groei, groei. Dit hang nie af van wat ons doen nie. It's all to do with what Jesus Christ has already done. That's good news. It's all to do with what Jesus Christ has already done. Why? Ephesians 2 and verse 8 to 10. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. Everybody say, I am God's masterpiece. That's what he thinks of you. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things he planned for us long ago. That's why he's created us. He's created us so we can do the things he planned for us long ago based on the fact that we have his grace. And holiness is living out this God-given ability to live right. That's what holiness is. Holiness doesn't mean never doing anything wrong ever. Holiness means having the grace in your life to cover your sins when you struggle and fall and funny part after all. That's what holiness means. Holiness means living out this ability that God has given you. Philippians 2 and verse 12. Dear friends, Paul writes to the church in Philippi. He says, dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. In our pursuit of holiness, we must learn to hate evil. We'll talk about this a little bit more next week. Learning to hate evil. And I close with this, food for thought for next week. Psalm 97 and verse 10. You who love the Lord, hate evil. Hate evil. Don't just be afraid of its consequences, but hate evil. So to recap, God is holy, must be worshipped and respected as such. Requires that standard of holiness from us that we can't meet. Enter Jesus. The grace of Jesus that we can have a relationship restored with the Father. I trust that this has blessed you and challenged you. That from here on in we will live knowing that this God is not just He's God Almighty. As you go home, remember this. Yahweh. It's the very essence of our life's breath. Yahweh. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Before we sing together one more time, let's pray together. Folks in the hall next door and those watching online. If you heard about this holy God this morning and you say to yourself, Mozzie, I don't have what it takes. I can't live like that. I've never understood that this God is so awesome and so holy that people would have this reverence for him. Well, today, dear friend, you got to hear that anew. And if you, like me, realize that you cannot make the grade, you cannot cut it, we're in the same boat together. We need the grace of the Lord Jesus in our lives. You want to make right with God and have your relationship restored with God and start a walk with God where you start pursuing this life of holiness as you learn to hate evil, then just pray this with me quietly to yourself in your heart as you say, Father God, In Jesus' name, I come to you and I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I realize I've blown it, Lord. I don't deserve the gift of life, let alone an eternity in heaven with you, a perfect God. But Jesus, I know that you came and died. I know that you're God's son. I believe it in my heart, and therefore with my mouth, I speak it out and say, Jesus, you're God's son, that you died and paid the price for my sins. God, would you forgive me? Jesus, thank you for dying for me and shedding your blood for me. Come into my life. Come into my heart. Live inside me and live through me. And as I let you, Holy Spirit, help me to live the rest of my days following hard after God and living a holy life. In Jesus' name, amen. My brother, my sister, if you've prayed that prayer for the first time, and maybe you've prayed it many times before, but it meant something again and anew this morning. The scripture teaches that God has, by His Spirit, made your spirit born again. And I want to encourage you to get in touch with us. Our contact details are on our Facebook page and will be available at our online service, www.bikerschurch.online.church, bikerschurchval.online.church, where the sermon will be broadcast.